Hi and welcome to the Corporate Life Podcast. My name is Hina Siddiqui and I loved and hated my corporate jobs for years. This podcast is going to empower you to go high on your career without losing yourself. I invite you to join me each week as you will hear real cool stories of the real cool corporate people doing real things in the corporate world. And their experiences and advice can change your story too. Hi, this is Hina Siddiqui and you are listening to the Corporate Life Podcast. Today we are joined by an extraordinary guest whose life journey is nothing short of captivating. His new book, Driven, Hip Hop, Fast Cars, Basketball and Brain Surgery, is a proof to his exceptional story, proving that ordinary people can indeed achieve extraordinary things. I'm talking about none other than Dr. Jason Cormier, who is not only an internationally renowned neurosurgeon, but also a race car driver, accomplished DJ, basketball player, and author of the book, Driven. Hi, Dr. Jason. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure to have you. And I'm very curious to know from you, what's driven you to write Driven?
It's a very interesting story. I met some people in the racing industry and some really good friends of mine prompted me to write this. And it was somewhat humbling and therapeutic in the end. I'm a very private person, but ultimately I agreed to do it and I'm glad I did.
And the title, like Hip Hop, Fast Cars, Basketball and Brain Surgery, this title itself tells a lot about your life. How and when did you think about this title?
So the guy kind of interviewed me and did a lot of the interviewing and we wrote this book kind of together, Mike Harris. You know, we looked at just my life in general and just, you know, I'm a pretty simple person, but I've had some opportunities to do some things in my life, like get involved in music, play professional sports and basketball, become a physician and also race cars. So those things, as they kind of meshed well together in a nice ensemble, I guess, if you will, it made it kind of a different story for some people out there that might think that you can accomplish some things from simple and humble beginnings.
That's interesting. And please tell us about your life around this title. How easy was the journey?
Well, the journey was very tough and it was there are dark areas that people will see. And the book is not for anyone that has experienced nothing but successes in their life. This is a book about trials, tribulations, failures, and ways to overcome those failures. And I think that the reader will be able to enjoy that a simple human being that others might consider was confronted with an insurmountable odds was able to find some way to make some good things happen for himself and for his family.
Yeah. And I believe that every story of success is also a story of failures. In fact, the multiple failures. And these failures keep us grounded, make us humble, and they complete our story. I don't know if it's a limiting block or what, but I believe that every failure is a lesson. It's a stepping stone to our next one. And whatever accomplishments we enjoy in our lives, some kind of, you know, some backstories that lead us to those traumas, tears, and struggles, frustrations. Would you like to talk a bit about what has been that failure for you? What kind of challenges you saw and overcame them?
Well, really, you know, my existence in high school, you know, you're a minority to begin with. And so that's one of the first things that you have to confront in the world of successful people. You don't always see the story behind the success that there are also some people that had some really tough things that they've undergone or gone through. So in high school, whether it was sports or academics, I had to fight back and develop what I call the mental toughness, which a lot of people really understand. And it's become more of a topic out there in terms of mental health. I think that no one's immune to things like mental illnesses. No one's immune to even that of suicide. I've confronted some of those things, depression, anxiety, and I talk about some of those things, you know, in the book. And when you kind of really delve deep into a lot of successful people, I think what a lot of us have in common is that mental toughness. And that mental toughness is really, to me, a measure of individual resilience and how you're able to continue to think positive despite, you know, going through some physical pain and some negativity. And, you know, if you have positive thoughts, that will generate some positive outcomes. Negative thoughts will generate negative outcomes. Yeah. So I think for me, the challenges that I encountered in high school and college, going on to medical school, I really started to see a lot of things come to fruition. I had no idea a lot of this would happen or come together in the way it did, but it was my passions that drove through it. And putting those together, surrounding yourself with good people, good friends and family, and ultimately the family I have today, you know, my significant other, Caitlin, and our kids, that's become really my pot of gold and my stronghold for success.
Lovely. And growing up, did you think that you would become a doctor or more specifically a neurosurgeon?
Well, my mother was really always strong in the sciences. And so she was really strong on academics. So I figured some way or somehow I would probably succeed in some form or fashion in academics. I had no idea. I was originally interested in cardiovascular surgery. And I kind of talk about that in the book. And really, I wanted to just be a professional basketball player. And that's what I was able to do for about a year and a half or so. And just things just didn't play out the way I thought it would. But from standing on the stones of my mother to stay in school and make sure that your academics are paramount and they're at the forefront, now I was able to fall back on a really gainful education and was able to accomplish, you know, becoming, you know, a neurosurgeon and interacting with some pretty prominent organizations after that.
Yeah. And I would like to state here that every parent wants their children to be very good at academics, right? But the children may have different interests and they should be allowed to experience life the way they want and cultivate the interests that they have, the passions they have. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. Of course, this is a good thing, but the children need to, decide on what they would like to take as a career, what they would like to spend their time most doing. What, like if somebody is very interested in music, for example, I remember that growing up, I was very interested in music. I was very interested in singing. But then that was not perhaps the career option. So you need to study. You need to do something that looks like a valid career option. What would you like to say to those kind of parents who are listening to us right now?
I would say, first off, for all parents out there, I would say that your kids listen to you. And there are some things that, you know, maybe I would think twice about saying, because I had to go through some of those things of the emotional abuse. But I will tell you, I can't agree with you more just in terms of, you know, as kids, we think we know best. But really, ultimately, your parents know best. And I'm glad I listened to her, at least with regards to education. Look, I wanted to be a big time music star. I wanted to be a big time basketball player and all those sorts of things. And that for some period of time was kind of took a back burner, if you will, to the academic sector that she was, you know, pushing. But thankfully, I maintain a strong academic substance. And so that kind of carried through, you know, but like any kid, you know, they see the stars, you see all the fame of what some of these things, these other people have accomplished. A lot of it's really luck. But I think my story, you'll see that I was passionate about at least everything. And my mother did actually support me in some of those things. And because of that, by some rhyme or reason, I was able to succeed with a lot of it. And I owe her for that.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Imagine a healing and coaching experience in the magical Bali, Indonesia. Light yoga, healthy food, simple meditations, conscious living, inner healing, a ton of interesting activities, plus coaching sessions on creating your career success blueprint, mindset shifts, including your money mindset and peak performance. You would come back with fresh new confidence and positive power with your very own success blueprint to make a true difference at your work, impact the world around you, and make much, much more money in your career. It's happening on various dates starting October this year, and I would love for you to be a part of it. Visit my website www.authorhina.com to know more about this luxury retreat. You'd come back as a different person. I promise you that. Dr. Jason, your life seems to be a very unique blend of music, sports, and medicine. How do you think your passions for hip-hop, fast cars, and basketball have influenced your career as a neurosurgeon?
Gosh, that is such a very interesting question. And I'm glad you asked it, because all of them have their part. Like, I don't think that I could have been either of them without the other, so to speak. So when I think about, you know, basketball, it taught me about, you know, having relationships with others, counting on other people count on me. That happens in the operating room. Well, so does it. It also happens in racing when you're counting on other people to get you there, your crew team to make sure everything's working correctly. And then ultimately, of course, you know, not just basketball, not just music, but music and all those things. As it all comes together in music, you know, the rhythms, the chord progressions, all those things come together in harmony. And when all those things work together, like it is in the operating room, things go well.
Yeah.
And you're able to triumph over just so many things that you might not have been able to do or even thought you could do. And nothing is insurmountable if you kind of put your passions all together in some kind of way. They came together in just a perfect mesh.
Yeah. Passions are so important in life. But when we start with our careers, we forget about that. We think that play is for children, but that's not true. It's like at every step and stage in your life, in your career, you can stay in touch with your passions. You can stay in touch with what you love doing the most. And it doesn't have to be a way of making money, but it gives you so much pleasure. And that pleasure you can use in even in your career. And that's definitely going to get you great results. So this is a very interesting and great point. Dr. Jason, what's the most difficult lesson you have learned in your life so far?
The most difficult lesson I think I've learned is that it's okay not being perfect. It's okay not right. It's okay counting on someone else that's actually brighter than you, knows more than you. And I've learned a lot from my significant other, Caitlin. And that, you know, I can't really even put in words. It's okay to count and depend on someone that you know has your back, has your best interest at heart. Even though you disagree, sometimes you don't want to admit that they're right. And I think that's been a tough challenge. At the same time, it's been life-saving and life-changing for me in many ways.
Yeah, that's interesting. The worlds of music and sports often celebrate creativity and intuition, while medicine and neurosurgery require a strong foundation in logic and precision. So how do you balance these seemingly contrasting aspects of your life and work?
Yeah, so first of all, you have to have some really good support. And you know, with music, I'm still able to do music, not necessarily as much as I would always want to, but I have support from my family. I wake up every morning and I'm gone for most time during the entire day. I come home and, you know, the kids are sometimes asleep. And so I miss sometimes that part of their lives. And it's really hard, but I have a really strong support in my significant other. So it's important to have that. So I'm able to do music, I'm able to do medicine, and I still travel. And because of that, I hold several faculty positions for different spine and brain organizations. And you can't do that without a good support group.
Yeah, exactly. It's so important to have people support us and to have people who are supporting, who we can go to, we can share our good and bad things with. So it's very important to have good people around us.
Oh, for sure. I think when I think of adversity, one of the first things I would always tell someone, surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
And that's big. Number two, be accountable. Number three, interact with nature.
Yeah.
Always, or, you know, read or write something every single day. Yeah. And I think, you know, I have a personal assistant in Shannon Thompson and just the people that surround me, a few close friends and family, that is really the stronghold of why I am successful. While people might see my name or me, there are many heroes behind that badge.
Yeah. Dr. Jason, in your book, you talk about the journey from being an ordinary person to achieving extraordinary things. So can you share some of the key challenges you faced along this journey that you have mentioned in the book, especially as an African American and coming from humble beginnings?
Sure. So I think as a minority, you're introduced immediately with that. Okay, something's different about you, and perhaps, you know, because you're one thing or you're not the other, you're not the majority, that you might not be deserving, or there may be challenges that you face that aren't that of the others. And that's actually part of that's actually very true. So you have to find a way to overcome that. Again, you know, mental toughness, again, that's going to be your resilience to, you know, there's a connection between mental toughness and physical toughness.
Yeah.
And I think people think that physical toughness is like physical strength, and it's not. Physical strength, which you can, is measurable within the gym, whereas physical toughness is a bit different. That you can't really measure, and you can't have physical toughness without mental toughness. And so for me, you know, as I migrated from high school to college, I had to figure out that, all right, there's a lot of freedom here. And with that freedom, you have to be more mature. Yeah. You have to monitor your friends, because you can get into more things that might not be so promising or productive to you. With that, I played basketball at LSU under Coach Dale Brown. And Coach Dale Brown had many different things in place for the athletes. There were tutoring sessions and whatnot. And it helped just the environment and the culture of at least athletics in terms of basketball succeed and to flourish. Moving from basketball into, you know, medicine. But by that time, you really should have, you know, all things together, and you know what you're going to do. And you're surrounded again by support groups. I call them support groups because they were other friends going through the same thing. And again, that returns to surrounding yourself with good people and like-minded people that want to succeed. And that way you don't have an excuse. You have to succeed. If you surround yourself with people that just fail, then ultimately that might ultimately be where you end up. And so once I finished with medical school and migrated, matriculated to residency, both at Duke and then UAB, where I finished up, neurosurgery was, again, you know, one of those insurmountable things to many, but I decided it was for me, and I felt like God chose me to do that. And so now I take that in the operating room every time I go in, whether it's a brain surgery or a spine surgery. I have my team, and there's a togetherness, there's a family, and that's kind of how I embrace the challenges and get through them every day.
Yes. Experience teaches us a lot. Life is the biggest teacher. When we are more conscious to what's happening to us, we develop that resilience. We develop that attitude to survive problems and then come tougher out of it.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we all have our stories, I guess. And I think that as long as you're doing things positive for people, doing positive things for yourself, and you're following your own passions, not someone else's passions,
yes,
then it's the right way for you.
Yes, that's brilliant. And I'm just coming to this question that many people in the corporate world, they struggle to pursue their passions alongside demanding careers, which I just talked about some time ago too. So what advice you can give to these people, how to find balance and fulfillment in life, and how to pick up their interest and passions and start practicing them while having limited time, which is, you know, because corporate professionals, they work on tight deadlines. They are always, you know, that rat race and climbing the corporate ladders and stuff like this. So it's difficult for them to find time and motivation. So what is your best advice for our audience today?
Sure. So I have this, it's going to sound kind of weird, but I have these 7 keys, I think, to success, I think would really, you know, address that question. And really the first thing is find your excitement. You know, again, that's looking at a passion that's not someone else's. It's a passion that's basically, you know, your own. Mm-hmm. Number two is mini goals become big goals. You know, create a plan. And that plan, don't make it a plan that's good for 1 month. Chart that plan out maybe 5 years, because it'll make the next year, you know, just a little bit easier to accomplish. Then number three, focus on staying focused. Make some realistic goals that you can do every single day. Don't make these insurmountable goals that you're going to read 3 books every day. That's just not, you know, a real number, right? So maybe read 10 pages a day and make those mini goals become big goals. And then before you know it, you know, you're going to be beyond just really just impressing yourself. Then number four, nothing beats persistence.
Yes.
All right. You don't have the most talented. Don't strive to be the most talented, but persistence overcome. Strive to be the hardest worker. And being the hardest worker many times is going to be, you're going to be the most resilient and you're going to be the most successful because you understand what it is to fight through those challenges. Number five, see challenges and don't see obstacles. And let the motivate you. Let the obstacles motivate you. And I think that for anyone that's down and they're thinking, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through that? Focus less on the obstacles and focus more on the challenges. And you'll be able to remove the problems and focus more on the solutions of what you're trying to figure out. I think number six, education is a journey.
Yeah.
Take from whatever you know you feel are lessons of life or lessons in education and just try to be a knowledge, just be a thief for knowledge. Steal as much as you can and try to implement that into your life. And you know, really sky's the limit once you're able to do that. And then be inspired. And as you're inspired, inspire others. Those seven things kind of to me encompass, you know, you may think you're busier than, you know, who knows, learn how to delegate, learn how to multitask, but be a single tasker first and then be a multitasker.
Yes.
And up again with good people that you can trust that have your best interest. And once you do those things, you're going to find that the time that you have, if you're using it more efficiently, you're going to be able to do so many more things than you thought you could have ever accomplished.
Absolutely. When we see life as a game, every difficulty comes as a challenge and we are there to overcome it, just to defeat it. So this is basically, it brings some fun in our life. And this is so important to have fun in our everyday life. It's not reserved for the time when we go on a vacation or we are doing some party or anything. Every day, every moment is a kind of fun thing. And you can make fun of everything. I mean, just doing anything, any task can be fun at hand.
Oh, you have to have fun. You know, there's no doubt. And I agree with you more. That's positive energy. You have to have fun. There's this thing people would always talking about, you know, self or use interchangeably self-consciousness versus self-awareness. And they're so different. You know,
yeah.
The self-awareness is understanding who you are within yourself and the triggers that guide you to one way or the other, whereas self-consciousness is kind of involved in what you feel about yourself within a social episode. So how people are judging you, how people are looking at you, just have fun and live your life and things will work the best, as you said.
Love that. Dr. Jason, how people can buy your book? By the way, I read a part of your book and it's very interesting. And I'm sure that our audience would love to read the book and get the most of it that they can use in their corporate careers and life, of course. So what is the best way to buy your book?
Thank you. Yeah. So there's a website and it's www.thedrivenbook.com. And on there are links to Amazon, Goodreads. And so you can find also Barnes and Nobles. And there's several different areas that that will lead you from the websites or links directly on the website that will help you grab the book. And I hope people really enjoy it. Like I said, it's not a book for people that have never experienced failure, but it's one that if you have, you'll be able to find an ordinary person that overcame what people would think were insurmountable odds and is doing really well for himself and others.
Yeah, and I could see that you have some really, really great reviews on the book. And I'm sure that you are enjoying the success that the book is getting.
No, it's been really great. And it makes you feel good when people have. Look, I think I have a story that, you know, a number of people have had it harder than I have. And I'm just happy that people have taken an interest in it and they think that, you know, it might help them. I hope it does. I don't think that I have had the most difficult challenges, but certainly I've had some. And I'm just hopefully sharing my story and that it will inspire others to do greater things, greater than what I've accomplished.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And every story has to be heard. And when you have made some really amazing accomplishments, need to be shared along with the failures that people have had, because this is so important for people to know that nothing is called like overnight success. Behind every success, there is, you know, there's a chain of failing circumstances, failures, and difficulties. Every success comes with that. So thank you very much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you. I appreciate being on your podcast.
Take away from today's chat: life not just about one path. It's about embracing your passions, whether it's in the operating room, on the racetrack, or in the studio. Dr. Cormier's new book, Driven, is more than just a title. It's a roadmap for all of us. So keep dreaming big, chasing those passions, and remember, even the most ordinary of us can accomplish the extraordinary. What's your big dream and passion, by the way? Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know. That's it for this week. I'll see you next week. Love you guys and girls. Stay happy and safe. Thank you for tuning in. I invite you to subscribe to this podcast and go to my website, authorhina.com, for life and career changing tools and resources. Be sure to download and read my book, Secrets of the Six-Figure Employee with Zero Stress. It's available on Amazon.